Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This program contains dramatizations of real events. Some names and timelines have been changed. Listener discretion is advised.
He told her that his vehicle had broken down and he needed a ride back to his home. The house that they went to was actually outside of the city limits. It was kind of there on its own. He definitely didn't have the criminal background to indicate that he would escalate to this, to what happened. Storm Lake is a community of about 10,000. It's in northwest Iowa, probably an hour straight east of Sioux City. It's a fairly rural location. It's primarily a packing town. It's got a couple packing plants, turkey and pork, which are kind of the main employers.
It's a nice little community. We have a lot of farmers in the area, hardworking people that work hard for their money, and we've had a really good police force that's helped keep the crime down.
Homicide or a violent crime is relatively rare. In the 10 years that I was there, I think there were one or two homicides. It just didn't happen very often. So I don't think anybody expected a violent crime like this. This was by far the worst scene that I've ever seen in my career.
I was born and raised in Storm Lake. I got married in 1980. I was working full-time as a paramedic. We had two boys of our own, Jeff and Matt. And so we raised them, and when they left the house is when we kind of the empty nest deal, or that's who kind of thought about the foster care system, and that's how we got into foster care. We had a few foster kids, and then we got a call one time, you know, for a placement of a girl, and we went to the office, and we came in, and we met Jessica. Jessica was born in Honduras. She had a really rough life her whole life. Jessica was 15 years old, and she was 6 months pregnant when we first met her. It was found that her pregnancy was a result of being raped by her stepdad, and so they arrested the stepdad and took her out of the custody and placed her with us. She never knew what trusting people were, or people loving her, or, you know, so that's what we wanted to give her. And then she had Victoria. And Jessica did a great job as a mother.
You're stuck. I've got you. What do?
Use what I can find.
Good. Very good. Oh. Always find something you can use.
I'd had some training in self-defense, and so every time I'd come home, she'd want to practice the moves and stuff like that.
You're getting a lot better.
Yeah, but you still pin me on the ground.
Oh, don't worry. That'll come.
Thank you.
I always told her, you know, it's not how strong you are, it's your mind. You got to use your mind more than your strength.
What?
I heard that from Buena Vista.
And? Yes, they said yes.
Oh, man. She got accepted at Buena Vista University in Storm Lake. She wanted to be a social worker. She wanted to help other kids that have been through the same situation that she's been in. And so her future was in front of her. She was about a mile and a half, 2 miles from where we lived. There wasn't a day that went by that we didn't call her or see her. She never slept. She was studying all the time and working as a janitor, and she was always busy trying to take care of Victoria. She had her hands full for a long time, and things didn't come easy. Kirk entered Jessica's life by reaching out to her on social media. He reached out to her telling Jessica that he had met her at a school outing at one time. So Jessica accepted and started talking to him. She didn't really know anything about him. And Jessica, you know, did what I had told her to do. Looked him up on the Iowa courts. It turned up burglary, car burglary. It was a red flag. I did not approve. But she's a real forgiving person. She thought he made some mistakes, but everybody needs another chance. So that's how things got going.
I don't know, Jessica. I don't see anything up there. I'm just saying, how can you know?
Well, you don't know, but that's why they call the whole thing faith. But you believe.
Maybe. I feel like it's easier for some people. Like, I'm trying. I really am. I'm trying really hard to put it all behind me and start over. It doesn't matter. Nobody wants me around. Nobody wants to hire me because of my record. So what am I supposed to do? They want me to fail.
Who wants you to fail?
Like, everyone.
Kirk. You can't do whatever you set your mind to. Nobody expected me to succeed either. I never thought that I would go to college, let alone graduate high school. But Tim and Sue, they showed me that there is another way.
Yeah, I don't have Tim and Sue to help me out.
Oh, Kirk, it's okay.
I broke into a house. Stole some credit cards.
Kirk, why would you do that? When did you do this?
Today. I don't know. I don't even... I just did. So stupid.
Then you have to turn yourself in. It is the only way to move forward. You have to take responsibility.
Eventually, Kirk ended up going to prison. Kirk was the person that Jessica wanted to make better. Not a boyfriend, just simply somebody that she thought she could change for the better.
The thing that stands out in this case is that if she hadn't been willing to give him, you know, a second chance, none of this ever would have happened. Running or trying to get away or screaming for help. There's nowhere to go. There's nobody to hear you when you're out there.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Two books and she's out. Didn't even get to the part where Harold draws the whole city.
Oh, that is her favorite book.
What's this?
Oh, that's nothing. It's Kirk. I told you about him.
Prison Kirk?
After he was sent to prison, Kirk started writing letters, and so they were writing letters back and forth.
He's in jail, but he's trying to change. So I'm helping him.
Isn't there anyone in prison he can talk to?
Yeah, I guess.
Jessica, you are seriously the nicest person I know. To a fault.
I just feel like no one else will listen to him. You know, and I know he feels very alone in this world. And I know what that's like.
I get it. I do. But this doesn't lead anywhere good. He's in prison.
I know.
Think of Victoria.
She was always a big believer in God. And she goes, he's atheist and doesn't believe in God. And I just want to kind of change his life that he can do better. We talked about a lot. And she was just adamant that, you know, everything's okay. And even though I disapproved of it, it went on for a little while anyhow. And then the letter just quit coming. When she said she wasn't getting any more letters, I just told her good. It was early in the morning, January 3rd, and she heard some rustling on the window, and she thought it was a tree branch hitting her window.
Jessica.
Kirk?
Hey, Jessica, I need need some help.
Kirk, what are you doing here?
I need help. A car thing.
Kirk, why didn't you knock at the door?
A spark plug. Come here, come outside a second.
Just hold on, okay? I'll come out.
Jessica was always willing to help anybody that needs help. So she said, yeah, I'll help you.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Kirk. So when did you get out?
A few days ago. Surprise.
It's a surprise. Are you in trouble?
No, I'm good. Now that I get to see you, I'm good. It's been a while, right? Long while. I think I grew, you know, like as a person during that time. I think it was actually good for me, like you said it would be.
Okay, good. That's good to hear. Did you get my last letter?
No. Hey, my car. I think my car is out of batteries, or has a... Batteries are dead. I think it probably just needs a jump or something. You think you could help me out?
Yeah, I thought you said something about spark plugs.
Yeah, you know me, Jessica. I don't know anything about cars. Probably the jump or the could be the plugs, but either way, it's broken.
No, I'd love to help Kirk, but I have to go. I have to go to school.
All right, well, you at least take me to my mom's house and I can figure something out.
Yeah, I can take you to your mom's and then I can just take you back to your car after school if you want.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you. You're the best. That really helps me out. It does.
Okay, I have to go tell my sister and then we can go.
Genesis, her sister, was there that day and stayed overnight in the apartment with her. Genesis was still mostly asleep. And so Jessica told Genesis that she would be right back. And that's the only reason why she didn't take Victoria with her at the time. It was early in the morning.
Hello.
Well, the phone rang and it was Jessica. And she was just hysterical.
Okay, Jessica, slow down. What happened?
She was hard to understand a little bit because she was crying and, you know, scared. And she goes, Dad, I've been kidnapped.
All right. Okay, now listen to me closely. I need you to hang up the phone and I need you to call 911. No, you have to call 911. Just do it, please, Jessica. You have to. Jessica. Hey, Jessica.
She just couldn't do it for some reason. She just wanted to talk to me, but she gave me the directions. She knew exactly where she was at. I knew most of the dispatchers and stuff just from working as a paramedic.
911, what's your emergency?
Hi, this is Tim Spears. Hey, I need Koontz and I need Todd to go to 1050 Jordan Avenue. 1050 Jordan. Got it?
And I called friend of mine, Todd Erskine, who was on the police department, and told him, and John Koontz, and I, of course, started heading her way.
So that day, I was working a normal shift, so Tim contacted our dispatch center to say that Jessica, you know, had been abducted in Storm Lake and, had gotten away in Sac County. At this point, we didn't really know what had happened. A lot of times there's an escalation when you have an offense of this nature. He definitely didn't have the criminal background to indicate that he would escalate to this, to what happened. Jessica willingly drove Kurt to his home, just trying to help him out. The house that they went to was actually outside of the city limits of Early, kind of off the main roadway. Pretty rural, pretty remote. It was kind of there on its own. He told her that his vehicle had broken down in Storm Lake and he needed a ride back to his home outside of Early.
Okay, I'll come back and get you after school.
Come inside with me.
No, what? No.
I'll show you something.
No, Kirk, seriously, I have to go. I have to go to school. I can't.
Come on, Jessica. Just take a few minutes. I just want to show you something.
Kirk, no, I can't. I can come back. What are you doing?
Guess it's settled then. Come on. Come on. Come on, Jessica.
What are we doing, Kirk?
Let's go. Just a few minutes, okay? You gotta trust
Kirk,
me.
I don't have a few minutes.
You gotta trust me. Come on, come on. I'm sorry. I forgot to.
So what are we doing, Kirk?
Just sit down.
No, what? Like, what are we doing? Just tell me. What are we doing?
Just, I'll show you in a second. Jessica, just sit down.
Okay, I'm sitting, Kirk. What are you doing?
Kidnapped you.
Okay. This was a good joke. Now can we go?
I'll be right back. Just stay here, Jessica.
Tell me what's wrong. Okay. I won't tell.
Stay down.
No, no, Kirk.
Stop moving.
No, Kirk, wait, 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 please wait. Kirk, Kirk, I'll do whatever you want. Okay, I promise. I'll do whatever you want. Okay. Okay, we can do whatever you want, okay? Okay.
Whatever I want.
Yes. Yes. Whatever you want. Okay, but we have to go get Victoria first. Okay. Please, Kirk. Please, Kirk, she needs me. You know, she needs me. Okay, and you can help me. We can be together. Okay, whatever you want. You can help me. Okay. Kirk.
This is a time where I ask God, God, what do I do? What do you want me to do? And this is the part where it's just, I felt, whether it was God's hands, an angel, I don't know, but I felt a hand just touch my right shoulder. And so I knew now what I had to do. And so I pretended like I was gonna comply, that I wasn't gonna fight, but in reality, that was not the case. I was just looking for an opportunity to get out of that farmhouse. Because if I yelled, it was useless. There was no one there. Kirk tied me around the wrist, and we left back out of the house into the car.
Get in.
No, Kirk, what are you doing?
Get in the trunk.
No, Kirk, you don't
have to
put me in here. I promise I won't cause any trouble. Kirk! Kirk!
My tool bag was kind of hidden in the bag, and I thought, okay, if I have access to this tool bag, I could undo the back of the back lights and stick my hand out, and obviously someone's gonna say something. And then the last thing he takes out is that tool bag. And I was like, God, like, what do I do, you know?
I don't remember there being any homes right there at all. They actually looked like they had a fair amount of land. It was out in the county outside of Early, Iowa, which is a very rural area. Kirk knew there was nobody else around. There was nobody that was going to walk in on him. He told Jessica that his plan was to tie her up and put her back in the back of his trunk, and that, you know, if she went along with him, that she wouldn't get hurt.
I remembered that while I was in the trunk. I felt helpless. I felt so alone. And I was like, God, are you there? Help me. If you're real, this is a time to prove it. I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to guide me. Help me get out of this situation. And that's when I realized what I had to do.
Kirk! Kirk, please, help me! Kirk! Kirk, please!
I was banging on the car, and I was just telling him, I'm claustrophobic, get me out of here. You know, I was making it seem like I was dying. He opens the trunk and he's like, what? And I'm like, I can't be in here, please. I told him, I will behave. I just really want to go get Victoria. I'm like, this is your plan. And I want to make it, I want it just as bad as you do. And so he puts me in the front seat. My tool bag was within reaching distance where the hammer was just happened to stick out. And so all I had to do was just reach and hit him. I was concerned about killing him. And I didn't want, if he died, I didn't want that blood in my hands. I can see the stop sign coming up, and I can see Highway 20. I was like, okay, at the stop sign, this is where I'm gonna do it. And so I'm just mentally preparing myself that I have to do this. Whatever happens, we'll cross that bridge once it gets there. But before I could do it.
Right when they got up to that stop sign, it was slick and he ended up going in the ditch.
And then the car is not going anywhere. At this time, I'm just like, what now? The way the car was positioned, it was a harder reach to get the hammer, so I needed the car to be level again so I could reach the hammer. And then I didn't see a vehicle approaching. He saw it. And he's like, there's a car coming.
Stay here. Shut up. I know where Victoria is.
Kirk, untie me. Okay, untie me so that they think we're a couple. Because otherwise they're gonna know that something is wrong.
Okay, just...
Is everybody all right down there?
I could see the red truck, just the top of it. I could see that somebody was there waiting and just kind of looking around. But he's like, no, they haven't seen you. Just lay low.
Kirk!
Hey, no, we're fine. You gotta...
He had untied me just enough where I could do it myself, so I started untying my hands. I opened the door and I ran to the truck. It was a male and a female. I looked at her and I was like, help me, he's kidnapped me. And she just looked at me like she was trying to process what I was saying. They got me into the truck and Kirk ran. Honestly, at this time, I wasn't really there. I'm pretty much breaking down. I'm shaking uncontrollably. And they asked if there was anybody to call. I was trying to talk, but I couldn't. And so I was just like pointing to the numbers as she dialed them. And so Tim answers, and it's just a relief to hear his voice. And I'm like, Tim. And I'm like, I've been kidnapped. They took me to his house, which was close by. And that's where I was reunited with Tim. I knew that Tim was like my safe place. And so I knew that when he was there, I was officially okay.
I was kind of disappointed maybe in myself a little bit because I had always promised Jessica, nobody's gonna hurt you. I'll make sure nobody hurts you again. And it's like, when she said that she'd been kidnapped and tied up, I mean, I was mad. I was, you know, so I was kind of beside myself a little bit.
I wanted to find Kirk, because otherwise I wouldn't feel safe if he was out in the loose. I knew that if he wasn't caught quickly, that he would find Victoria and I, and whatever his plan was, I knew he would fulfill it.
Jessica was able to tell us, this is what happened, this is who it was. So our immediate priority after making sure that Jessica was safe, you know, was finding Kirk. At this point, we didn't really know, is this an individual that, you know, he's going to carjack somebody? Is he armed? Is this somebody that, because he's on the run and because it's cold out, that he's going to break into somebody's house where, you know, mom or daughter may or may not be home alone?
I think I heard it through the squad car that they had a dog out tracking him, and there were footprints that they had found.
We searched for him for a relatively short time that I remember, and he was located by the Sac County Sheriff's Office.
Storm Lake PD, come out with your hands up. You Kirk Levin?
Yeah, I am.
They found him in a shed, wet and cold, and he basically gave himself up.
The interview with Kirk, it was odd. He was very, you know, very emotionless. It was just kind of a, you know, like you were talking to him about a baseball game or something. He initially tried to say pretty much that he blacked out. He had no idea what happened. As we interviewed him further, he did admit, you know, that he had abducted Jessica, had tied her up and all that, and pretty much admitted that his intention was to sexually assault her. But there was no remorse. He wasn't, you know, scared or worried about going to prison, didn't feel bad for what happened, at least that I could see. When he got released from prison, Kirk was living with his mother on Ira Avenue in Early. We tried to get a hold of her, tried to call her on the phone, couldn't get her. So several of the officers, myself, Todd Erskine, and then some deputies with the sheriff's office decided we were going to go to the home because we knew that there was going to be physical evidence there of the abduction, but we were also concerned about the well-being of Kirk's mother. We knocked on the door, were unable to get an answer. We knew we had the evidence that we needed to get a search warrant, so we decided to make entry into the home. As we're checking the house, we found a doorway that had been blocked by a recliner, which was kind of odd. I moved the recliner and found out that this doorway led to, it opened up to the stairway that went to the second floor. We all went upstairs. There was one bedroom that had, it was a door panel that had been removed from the jamb, and it was just set across the doorway, or it kind of blocking the doorway. We went into the room and then we saw Kirk's mother. She was obviously deceased. It was a very bloody scene. She had some trauma to her head. There was actually a belt tightened around her neck, and on her at least one arm and one leg, if not more, she had very deep lacerations. The amount of violence that was inflicted on Kirk's mother. You know, that's something that I've never seen before, and I hope I don't ever see again. Kirk admitted pretty much that he didn't remember what happened, but he must have done it, but never flat out came out and said, yes, he had killed his mom. We asked if there had been, you know, any type of, you know, argument or altercation, which he all denied. Yeah, so we never did find out, you know, exactly what transpired that led to her dying.
He had murdered his mom prior to coming to get me. And then I learned that the reason the letter stopped was because while he was in prison, they found these sketches that he had. And how he had basically a woman, and he was raping this woman and having children with this woman in a soundproof room. And then he was raping those children. And so then that's why, that's when I knew why he wanted Victoria and me. When I found these details, it reframed everything in how God was protecting me the whole time, even to the fact, even before it even started, by my sister just sleeping over that night. If my sister wasn't there that night, I would have taken Victoria with me that day, and I wouldn't be here today. Even though I was kidnapped in January, I was still able to graduate on time and complete that circle of helping kids in the foster care system.
I don't usually cry, but I had to shed a tear that day when she when she graduated. We were extremely proud of her. I mean, for her to accomplish graduating college for everything that she'd been through, I mean, it was just phenomenal.
Aaron and I got married April 25th, 2015. He's the only man I could be married to. He puts up with me, and Aaron deals a lot with what happened to me as a child. He listens, and he's very patient with me. And I know that God made him just for me. We have our two girls, and I am very thankful for just, I know it sounds silly, but just being able to watch my daughters grow and just love my family, it's a big blessing that a lot of people take for granted, and I'm just very blessed.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.